From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Joe Palca reporting. Brexit, Brexit, and more Brexit. Britain's crisis deepened Monday as British and EU officials scrambled to deal with the shock of British voters' decision to leave the European Union, plunging the country into what some describe as its worst disarray since World War II. International Development Secretary Justine Greening is also a Conservative MP.
Well, I think it's really important that now the British people have spoken in this referendum, that we have a strong, united Conservative Party in government to take those wishes forward. I want to see the two clear front runners now that the Prime Minister has resigned, who are Boris Johnson and Theresa May. I'd like to see them come together to give some unity and stability for our party without the need for a leadership contest if we can possibly avoid it.
U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry was in Brussels today.
The vote did not come out the way President Obama and I and others hoped that it would, but that's democracy, and we respect the rights of the voters, and we respect the process. So it is now incumbent on leaders to implement the will of the people and to do so in a way that is responsible, sensitive, thoughtful, and I hope strategic.
He said the U.S. relationship with the U.K. will go unaffected.
The interests and the values which have united us for such a long period of time did not change on the day of that vote.
In early trading on Monday, markets in Europe were losing ground but did not see the dips that were seen on Friday. British pound again dropped in early trading. British leaders are attempting to reassure the financial markets following last Thursday's referendum to leave the European Union. This is VOA News. The Italian Coast Guard says it has coordinated the rescue of more than 3,300 migrants in the Mediterranean Sea as Libya-based smugglers exploited good weather and calm seas to launch boats full of migrants toward Italy. The Coast Guard says the migrants were saved Sunday in an area 55 kilometers north of the Libyan coast. Lebanese officials say suicide bombers have killed at least five people in an eastern village near the Syrian border. 15 people were wounded in one incident. No one has claimed responsibility as yet. Iraqi forces captured the last neighborhood of Fallujah, ending a month-long offensive to take control of the key city from Islamic State militants. The victory is part of an overall campaign to defeat Islamic State insurgency, which seized large parts of Syria and Iraq in 2014. Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi has vowed to retake the IS-held city of Mosul. Israel and Turkey have reached an agreement to normalize relations that would end a six-year rift caused by a raid by Israeli commandos left 10 pro-Palestinian activists dead on a Turkish vessel trying to breach an Israeli naval blockade of the Gaza Strip. Joseph Olmert, a regional analyst at the University of South Carolina, sees it as a victory for Israel.
Altogether, I think that this is another indication that Israel is not isolated in the Middle East, that Israel is indeed a country that other states and countries would like to be in on friendly relations with.
Israel has agreed to pay $20 million in compensation to the families of those killed and wounded in the Israeli commando raid. Three Australians, two Nigerians, and a New Zealander and a South African are in a safe location today. That's a day after they were freed from kidnappers who ambushed a police convoy last week in southeastern Nigeria and killed a driver. Their employer is Australia's McMahon Holdings. Cy Van Dyke is the company's chief executive.
We are very relieved that all seven of our men who were taken hostage by a gang of armed kidnappers on Wednesday morning were released late last night. Our men are at a safe location, but unfortunately, five of them were injured during the incident.
He sent his prayers to the family of the driver who was killed. The injured are receiving special medical attention as arrangements are being made to send them home. Panama officially has opened an addition to its canal for a new generation of supercargo ships. Latest generation of gigantic carriers could not fit through the 102-year-old canal. Analysts say the canal's annual cargo volume should double over the next decade and triple the $1 billion in annual shipping fees that Panama currently collects. For more on all these stories, visit our website at voanews.com. This is Joe Palca in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.